If there's nothing else, then let's look into the scripture and remember these things before the Lord in a few minutes and whatever else the Lord lays on your heart. But first, let's look in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, if you would join me there. This seems a useful place to start the year. And this whole discussion we've been having about God's ability. And just as we sang, I know whom I have believed, I'm persuaded he's able. And we are looking at another one of his great abilities this evening. So Romans chapter 14, it's tempting to read the whole chapter. It's all really good. And let's just read the first dozen verses, though. So Romans 14, beginning with verse 1 through verse 12. Paul says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith, and he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord. Or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." So like Paul, isn't it? That you'll be reading along on this little section, which is about, well, as the title reads, Principles of Conscience. He's discussing this, about how we can sit at one table and glare at each other across the table. So-and-so is not eating. So-and-so is eating. Did you see that? Did you see this? And we just sit there and we forget that it's a two-way street here. And we're convinced that we're right and they're wrong. But Paul is saying, now look, and he'll discuss this at greater length in Corinthians about, look, better not to eat at all if it gives offense. Better not to do anything if it gives offense. Now he's talked about food in verses 2 and 3. He's talked about celebrating and holding different days and different levels of importance in verses 6, 5 and 6. He even talks about drink in verse 17 and verse 21. See, he says it's good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? Well, did you catch the verse, though, in the middle of all this that we want to draw our attention to? I heard someone kind of say, under their breath a little bit. It's verse 4. "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or he falls." And then he says, "And stand he will." And this is the encouragement we have about this upcoming year. "Stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand." And I thought we would just extract that statement and look at it for a moment or two and then try to plug it back into the context, which might do us just as much good as the other. But he said, Christ is able to make a stand. Now, the importance of that is seen when you look at verse 10. We shall all stand, what does he say, before the judgment seat of God. And so It's the sort of thing that you want to be ready for. You want to be prepared for. You want to be as equipped as you can. You want to walk as close to Jesus as you can. You don't want to spend your entire life here stumbling about and going from one disaster to another, knowing that you'll have to stand before him and give an account. The thought crossed my mind, boy, I wouldn't want to be so-and-so in the judgment seat. And I thought, I don't want to be myself in the judgment, but I will be. And you'll be yourself, and we'll all have to give an account. Well, thank God then that he, in this life, this is what Paul is talking about, in this life he's able to make a stand. And what a comforting thing to look down the avenue of the year and say, and Jesus will help me here and there and the next place and the other place and wherever I go and whatever I'm in, he can help me and he will. Think about this. He'll help you in prison. He can. I mean, you should go through the scripture and see where men have stood and Christ has stood them up. He'll help you in prison. I love this section. It's in the latter part of Acts where Paul's been in Caesarea for a couple of years. One guy retires, another guy takes his place, and he just left in jail to do the Jews a favor. And it looks like he's going to spend the rest of his life in that cell with a little bit of a modicum of freedom. But nonetheless, he's not out preaching. He's not out strengthening the churches, is he? Or is he? Well, he stands finally to give his defense before Agrippa, the latest bigwig to blow through town. And he stands before him and he says this, having obtained help from God, I stand to this day, testifying both to small and to great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place. And he continues then with his testimony and with his preaching. But we'll just pause with this statement and get our encouragement from this. To this day, Paul says, he's helped me. Now, he hasn't helped him out of prison. I bet his stock portfolio is not doing all that well. But what does it matter? I mean, he is encouraged. He is strengthened to keep his testimony. He is strengthened not to compromise. He is strengthened not to slip the Jews a few $100 bills just to get out. The man has received help from God. And so he can make a stand in prison. He can make a stand in the furnace. Daniel's friends, you remember their names? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. We're not going to bow down to this golden image. Well, then you're going to burn. Well, God will deliver us one way or the other. And so they stand and they walk with Christ in the fire. It's a glorious thing. They're able to stand, the Lord can stand us up in the flood. And by that, I mean he can take the body of water, and just split it like that and make it stand up as two great walls. And we just walk through. And when the Egyptians try it, they're drowned. He can make a stand before Goliath, right? He can make a stand before Nero, as Paul will prove later. He will make a stand before Nebuchadnezzar, as Daniel proves. And he's just standing there saying, well, the Lord gave me the dream you had, and he revealed mysteries, and he's explained to us what he's told you, and this is what it means. And Nebuchadnezzar falls before his Hebrew servant and says, your God is the living God. He can make a stand before Nebuchadnezzar. He can make, like Moses proved, he can make you stand before Pharaoh. And these are the powers of the earth. These are the great men. These are the men that they would tell you, your life is in my hand. I have absolute authority over you. And then in your heart, you know that it is not true. In God's hand, we both stand. And he can do with me what he will, but I am not in your hand, I'm in his hand. And so he's able to make a stand, isn't he? And you're no doubt, as you ponder this wonderful statement, the Lord will bring other things to mind. He can make you stand here. He can make you stand there. He can make you stand up on the day of Pentecost and address the very people that you've reluctantly said, I don't know the man. So he can make you stand up and do it like that. He can do it in a moment. Now, as we think about this great statement, and we've just finished the thought with Peter, I think it's clear that it's fair to say that by nature, we most of us are Peters. Pretty well convinced that we're strong, not knowing our own tremendous weakness. When push comes to shove, the man would not hold on faithful to his devotion to Jesus. He said, "Oh, everybody will desert you but me. If all forsake you, I will not." Until some little servant girl just says, "Hey, aren't you one of them?" And he swears and uses words he hasn't used in a long time. I don't even know the man. And so by nature, we are the kind of people that need what Paul has just said there. The Lord is able to make him stand. And what we need is Christ himself to stand us up. It is strength that is from heaven. It is strength given to us in the critical moments. It is strength that is beyond ourselves. It is a glory to God as we bear witness in whatever circumstance that this is not me. The Lord is helping me. So, now as you plug those wonderful thoughts back into this section, what do we have here? We have the thought of, as we said, men sitting across the table glaring at each other, shooting daggers in their eyes. It's interesting. He says, "Let not him," verse 3, "who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat." Oh, you little weakling, you little sniveling tyro in the spiritual walk. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Don't you understand the principle? And we're regarding with contempt him for whom Christ died, he'll say to the Corinthians. And then he, on the other hand, can turn it right back around on us and judge us who eat, Paul says. And there is this sort of an animosity there. And what we're thinking, each of us in our heart, and I like this thought, that Paul does not really take sides here, does he? He doesn't say, well, the fellow who doesn't eat is in the right, or the fellow that doesn't, that does eat is in the right. He doesn't say. He says you're both in the wrong if you're judging and feeling contemptuous towards your brother. If you are, what is he doing actually? He's rebuking a censorious spirit. He's saying, no, who do you think you are judging another man's servant? You're looking in the face of Jesus's servant. You're looking at his servant. He is the bond slave of the Lord, just as you are. Now, what's encouraging is just as really as he doesn't take a side in this, he will say that the truth applies to either side. Christ will help us. The Spirit of God will stand us up in any situation, and he will make us all to come to the place where we stand before him. He is able to make us stand. Now, I like this. I like the fact that God can take a Peter and make him stand. I like the fact that God can take a Paul and make him stand. Someone who is adamant on his points, unyielding on his principles, to get to the point where he says, look, what really matters is in this regard, the things that are not that critical, it comes down to a man's conscience, and that man or that woman has to follow the Lord, and the Lord will direct him. The Lord will help her. The Lord will change them and bring them both along. I'm glad, for instance, just as this is almost a non sequitur, but it's not entirely. I'm glad that we'll see both Whitfield and Wesley there in the glory. And you know what I mean by that? They were poles apart theologically. But God took them, God made them both stand, and they testified and they gave their witness to Christ in their day. And then they went off to their reward. They had their different thoughts about each other. And we'll leave it at that. But Jesus looks at whether it's the matter about what we eat or how we celebrate the Lord's Day or how we celebrate the whole week or whether we drink wine or whether we do not. He says that the thing important is not to make a brother stumble. And so you see that in this sanctified vessel here of Paul, and you think, well, praise God, that's a glorious thought, because he didn't start off his race this way, did he? And the Lord has mellowed him, and he has helped him, and he has blessed him, just as really as he blessed John Mark or Barnabas. And the things that just seem so critical, the Lord saw fit to help each one of his servants and make them to stand. Again, each servant, each one of us, whether it's Whitfield or Wesley, each of us has to do with his master. It's a very personal thing. And so I think Paul is saying, now I can't tell you to do this, and then you will be in the right, and you'll be able to stand before Christ. He's saying, I'm not going to put a stumbling block in your way. If your conscience goes different from mine, then I will be the better man, the bigger man, and I will stop doing what makes you stumble, even though I have a right to do it. But the greater thing is that I have to stand before my Lord. And as Paul looks at this fellow, and he's even said, one who is weak in faith, verse 1, Jesus can take his church. Jesus can take his people. He can help his own. He can strengthen you. He can strengthen me. And even if we don't see eye to eye on every single point, it's before Christ that we stand. It's Jesus whom we serve, and he is the one who will perfect this good work in us. Now, it almost seems, when you think of standing in the fire, standing in the flood, standing in the furnace, standing before Nero, these are special occasions, aren't they? That you just think, oh, this is where I really, really need this verse. I need to know, and yes, you do, and yes, I do, he's able to make a stand. But also in these everyday little, seemingly unimportant, trivial things, there is a right way, and there is a glorious way, and there's a way that honors God through all of it. And the Lord can help us stand in those things too. Now, it may be that you're somewhat like me in this, that you can kind of get up for the big things. And some big event, someone passes away. Some tremendous challenge, a great loss, a great trial. And you kind of get up for that. You think, all right, I'll walk with Christ through all this. But it's just the everyday stuff, isn't it? Is that this is where I normally tend to start losing my footing, is in just the everyday little bitty stuff. And the fact that Paul, in the midst of these everyday little disputes and differences that the church might have, he interjects this great principle. Why are you judging the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand. For the Lord is able to make him stand. Even if they disagree with me, yes, even if they disagree with you, Christ can make him stand. Well, you just think about that and see if God gives you some more light on that and some more help. But it's a beautiful thought to think as we look away at the year, isn't it? He'll help us. He'll make us stand, cause us to be victorious, strengthen us in the great moments as well as the small. I praise the Lord for that. Let's pray.